I'm Mike Malone, one of the pastors here at H2O. Excited that you're here this morning. Excited that people made it after the game that was late. It really drove something home for me. Basically, we had Vivek come up 2 weeks ago, and he said, I'm sneaky old. And Othniel came up last week, and I really think that he's sneaky young because of his beard and everything. And I'm here to just say that I'm just old. Just plain old. And one of the things that points it out to me is I have four kids, a 16-year-old, two 14-year-olds, an 11-year-old. That's our dog and my wife. And so they're all up there. You can see that they're humongous human beings at this point, which is weird to think about because I remember them as small little ones, especially the twins. But growing up when they were little with my kids, I would do something every night with them. Basically, I'd kiss them goodnight, and I would say, I love you. And for the girls, I'd say, you're beautiful, you're a princess, you're very smart, you're a hard worker. And then I would choose one thing that was specific to them, one way that I thought that God was uniquely creating, growing them up the way he's uniquely created them. And it's been the same for each child. And so I don't know if they know what they are or if they shared them with one another, but they're all different. I'm not going to share them with you guys. It's their thing between us. But I have a question for you guys. Why do you think I did that? And this is truly a question. Like, this is like interaction time where you shout things out. It can be anything you think random. I'm just a weird person. I'll take that. So why do you think I did that? Go ahead. So they feel good? So they wouldn't forget? Yeah. Help their sense of identity? Unique, yeah. One last one. Yeah, because I love him because I'm their father. And all those things are true. And you guys hit on one of them. I wanted them to know their true identity. And this is really important for the twins because they just started high school and they've dealt with this all their lives. When they go and somebody come up to them and be like, hello, Aaron. And Emily would be like, I'm Emily. And they'll be like, oh, you must be Aaron's sister. They're known in relation to one another. They're known as the Malone twins. And that's not really their true identity, right? Their true identity is the way that God has created them. But this isn't unique to them. This is for all of us. Think about what happened since you got here at OSU. Even before you got here, you were given a dot number, right? You might be Smith dot 20,000 something. You're the 20,000th Smith to get here. But that number is very unique to you, but also is very important, right? Maybe you've had to share what your hometown is, your major, your housing. If you're an undergrad student, a grad student, if you graduated and you're working, you've probably had this discussion many times where people say, what do you do? And you talk about your profession. What are some of the other things that you guys think about that you share to talk about who you are in relation to other people or your identity? And again, this is one of those questions where you just like shout it out, get some interaction. I want to keep you awake. It was a late night watching the game. So hobbies, yeah. What are you excited about? What do you like to do? Anything else? Major, yeah. Sometimes you talk about the homework you have to do, right? This is what I got to get done this week. But all those things are not really your true identity, not really the way that God the Father sees you. And so this morning, I know you guys know we're in the middle of this is the final talk in our series of Cornerstone. We've been talking about how Jesus is our cornerstone, who we should orient our lives around. And this morning, I want to talk about our identity as living stones. Stones being built into a spiritual temple around the cornerstone of Jesus. Let's pray. God, just thanks for bringing us here this morning to talk about what it means to be just your kid, to be in your family. We want to live into what our true identities are, the things that you've said are true about us. Just pray that you would speak to each one of us, speak to our hearts this morning. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10 this morning. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about what is the context. Who is Peter writing to? And he mentions it in his first verse of the book. He says, I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And that's really just modern-day Turkey right now. It's sort of like Asia Minor. And they are facing a lot of persecution and undeserved suffering because of the Romans, the Roman rule around them, and the identities that the Romans are giving them. The Romans see these Christians as apostasy, which just means that they don't believe in the right gods, or they don't believe in Caesar as God. They don't believe in the gods that is protecting Rome and keeping them safe and helping them as Rome succeed. And that's really upsetting to the other Romans, because they know if not everybody is in on worshiping these gods might not protect them. And so they're worried, and they are upset with them. They are misunderstood because they think they're murdering infants because of the Lord's Supper. You know, they talks about how they're taking the body and blood of Christ, and they think, oh, they're actually really eating people. And so they think they're cannibals. And so they think they're a little weird and a little dangerous, right? Also, they think that they're sexually promiscuous because they are calling one another brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're also marrying those same people. And they're like, this is weird. This is not good. They're being given bad identities, and they are being misunderstood. And they're being misunderstood because I would describe it as they're a minority living under a different king, King Jesus. And people just don't quite understand that. These Romans don't. And the other thing about this audience is you might think, well, this is talking to Israelites or Jewish people, but this is actually talking to Gentiles. Peter writes this book mostly to Gentiles. And what that basically means is in the Old Testament, there was this group of people called the Israelites, and they were God's chosen people, and they were Jewish. And everybody who wasn't Jewish was a Gentile. And so Peter's writing to them to let them know that they have a new identity, that these Gentile Christians belong to this new family, this family of God that the Israelites are a part of. They're a part of this family because of what Jesus did on the cross, dying for their sins, and because of God's desire for all nations and all peoples to come to know him, for all nations to be blessed through the Israelites, but also for Jesus' name to be proclaimed everywhere throughout the whole world. He wanted them to know that God the Father loved them deeply, just as much as Israel, even though they had been adopted into his family. And it's interesting, this idea of being adopted, right? It reminds me of this song, My Boy by Elvin Shane. And I know it's a country song, so I don't know if everybody's heard it or not. But this is a song about a man who has met a woman who has a son, and just his view of him, and basically his view of wanting to adopt him into his family. And it's pretty much summed up in the chorus here. And the chorus of the song goes something like this. He ain't my blood, he got my name, but if he did, I'd feel the same. I wasn't there for his first step, but I ain't missed a ball game yet. And ain't never gonna change. I'll never walk away. Yeah, he's my son, and that's my choice. He ain't my blood, but he's my boy. I don't know if you guys expected me to sing that, but some reactions are like my children. They're like, that could be really cringy or very uncomfortable. But the whole point of me singing it was because that's the essence of the song, right? It's meant to really portray deeply what this man thought about this son. And in the same way, Peter is writing to these Christians, appealing to them, saying, I really want you to understand this new identity. I want you to really understand that you have been adopted into this new family with this really loving father. And so we have this first section of 1 Peter 1 all the way through 2:10, and it's all about this. It's all about Peter drawing connections to Gentiles and how they are like Israel. And so he talks about how they're God's obedient children. He calls them holy and set apart by God. He talks about how he chose them, how he laid down his life, how Jesus laid down his life because they are so precious, how they've been cleansed from their sins, how they've tasted the Lord's kindness because they are part of this new family. He wants this message to be driven home to them. And so we get to this conclusion where he's sort of wrapping it all up in 1 Peter 2:4, where it says, "You are coming to Christ, who is a living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor." And I just want to hone in on this first part of this verse where it says, "You are coming to Christ," because that would bring a message to them that was clear about them being connected to the high priest in Israel. And the high priest in Israel would go into God's presence once a year. He'd have to go through a big ceremony to be cleansed of all his sins. And he was the only one who could do it. He was the only one who could be in God's presence. But Peter's saying, that's not true anymore. You're a part of this family where everyone gets to be in God's presence at all times. This loving Father is around you all at all times, taking care of you in the midst of your being misunderstood. He has cleansed you from your sins so that this can happen. And it's awesome. It's awesome just to think about for them, like, oh, I can be in God's presence all the time. And he continues on to say, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced." And it's cool to just think about the first part of this verse 2 and 5, where he talks about them being living stones. And this word stone is not just this random stone that's picked up in a field and piled on other stones. You know, maybe you guys have seen it around Columbus where they're just random stacking of stones. It's not that type of, not that type of building. What Peter is pointing out is this word stone is very specific. It's one that's specially picked out to be put into a building. It's specially picked out to be put in relation to other stones around it and around the cornerstone. Also, I don't know if you guys know this, but it quotes Isaiah 28:16. And if you remember, last week, Othniel talked about this verse. And he talked about the end, the word being never being disgraced, being hard to translate, meaning do not haste or do not hurry. And his conclusion, or the point he wanted to drive home or for us and for the Israelites, was this: when we rest in Christ as our cornerstone, we can trust in him to build the house. And Peter is doing the same thing for the Israelites here, and for the Christians, they're the Gentile Christians. He's wanting them to know that God is taking care of them, building them into this spiritual temple in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their being misunderstood, that he is going to take care of them. And he continues on to say, yes, you who trust him, recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. If you guys remember Vivek's talk from 2 weeks ago, this is Psalm 118. And Jesus says it, repeats it to the Pharisees when he talks about the parable of the vineyard owner, to point out that the Pharisees will reject him. They will reject Jesus, and that they will stumble, and their fate is going to be not good. And he wants these Gentiles to know that this isn't the case for them, that others are going to reject them, just like the Pharisees reject Jesus, and just like the Romans are rejecting Jesus around them. That's not the case for them, that he knows that they haven't rejected them and that it's going to go better for them. And he continues on to say this, "But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." And this is the conclusion of this whole first part of 1 Peter, the point when he is just driving all these things home. He is really hitting hard that you are a part of a new family, that these Gentiles are new, a part of a new family. So he drew a lot of connections. He talked about them being chosen, kingly priests, God's possession. He told them they had the honor of reflecting Jesus. He said that they once had no mercy, but now they have the mercy of God, that God is taking care of them in the midst of their suffering and being misunderstood. He wanted them to understand their true identity in the midst of confusion. And this is what I like to call a living stone identity. They had been chosen to be part of God's family, a family with a truly loving father. And Peter is addressing a situation where Christians are being misunderstood and given a false identity. And the same thing can be happening to us today, right? We talked a little bit at the beginning of the different identities that we have been given or even that we choose to identify ourselves with. And so just like the Romans had a misunderstanding of the Christian's identity, others around us can have a misunderstanding of our identity. And so I wanted you guys to take a moment this morning to think about this question. And I'm going to give you guys a minute and a half. What ways have you been misunderstood and given a false identity? We'll play some music. I know it'll be a short amount of time, but I'm actually going to time it so that we know we're on time. And if you guys have something to write on or if you just want to write on your phone, just think about this question and write some things down. And I wanted you guys to write this down because this is part of like, what does this mean for us today? We have this message that was given to these Gentiles back in 1 Peter. But how can we apply it to our lives today? Because the beauty is that you guys have a new identity or a true identity in Jesus. God has uniquely created each one of you. He's uniquely made you. And there are some things that are true as a whole, which we can glean from 1 Peter, that are true for all Christians. But there are some things that are just true for you, the true identity that God has given you. Just like the song where Elvin Chain is talking about a father really loving the son and adopting him into his family, you guys have been adopted into this new family of God. Just like the Gentiles in 1 Peter, you have this new identity. Just like he was telling the Gentiles then how they are connected to Israel in different ways, you guys have been connected through having this new identity, through being adopted into this new family. You guys have been chosen. You're kingly priests. You have the honor of reflecting Jesus. You have now been given mercy. And so I wanted you guys to have a chance, too, to just think about that. Think about what other things come to mind about my true identity that's different than what people said. One powerful thing you could do, or it was powerful for me, is you can cross out those false identities if you wrote them down, and then take a moment to reflect on this question and write down what identities have you been given by God. And again, we'll have like a minute and a half to do that. I know you guys could probably go on for a long time just thinking about that. So I'd encourage you to continue at another time if you want. You can write down more false identities. You can write more of your true identity. And I want to acknowledge that these true identities are hard to believe on your own. It's hard to do on your own. You know, I love this picture in 1 Peter where he talks about us, again, being living stones, that we're specially picked out to be in a different part of this spiritual temple that he's building in relationship to Jesus. In that one is we need to focus on our cornerstone. We need to focus on Jesus. He's the one who's going to remind us of our true identities. This can happen in many different ways through prayer or through reading the Bible, but he is the one who can speak that. And so I encourage you guys to continue to try to connect with God on a regular basis. Also, it's hard to do on your own, just focusing on Christ. You need others around you. Again, think of that building imagery. Each stone is put in a different place Each stone is supporting other stones around it and being supported by stones around it. You guys have been put into a spiritual Christian community for a purpose. And so I'd encourage you guys to get involved in a Christian community if you're not. That could be our community groups, but I really want to just emphasize our small groups. You guys can get connected with one through community groups, but they're just smaller groups of people who are there who can learn a little bit more of what's going on in your life, that maybe you'll share just a little bit more about the false identities that you've been given so that they can share with you and remind you of your true identity. And I know that H2O is not the only Christian group around too on campus or in Columbus. And so if H2O is not for you, I encourage you to get involved in a Christian group somewhere. Because again, it's about the spiritual temple that God is building. You guys are going to be put in relation to other people around you to support them. And they're going to be put in relation around you to support you, for you to understand what your true identity is, the one that's been given to you by Jesus, the one that's been given to you by God the Father, and the one that's been given to you because of your faith in Jesus, because you made him your Lord and Savior. And so, again, I just encourage you guys to do that. And let's close in prayer. God, just thank you for giving us the opportunity just to talk about what a living stone is and what that identity is. Just thank you that you want us to know that you're a loving Father. You want us to be in community with those around us. I just pray that these messages would stick to our hearts, that we would come to a deep understanding of what our true identities are, what our living stone identities are. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.